Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. Wisdom is understanding God's Word. Pastor Murray's unique teaching approach brings God's Word alive with meaning as he takes you on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study of God's letter to you, the Bible. And now here is Pastor Arnold Murray.
All right, good day to you. Say, God bless you. Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Hey, we're ready to get back into our Father's Word, as always. Deuteronomy 32, the Song of Moses. Let me bring you up to speed here from the last lecture, in case you missed it. In Revelation chapter 15, it stipulates that those that had the victory over the beast, that's to say the one world system, the Antichrist, over his name, over the number of his name, and actually had the victory, basically, if you would, on their way to heaven to meet the Father. And they're singing a song. And our Father has a very simplistic way of teaching, because common sense tells you that the words of that song are how they overcame, how they acquired the victory, how they accomplished it. So the song becomes very important then. With the 14th chapter of Revelation relating to the earth, and the 15th, of course, where it stipulates this is the song they were singing, then it makes it very important, extremely important. It's very difficult to emphasize the facts and the meat of it that we will get to today in this lecture. This psalm began by, "I will rain the truth down on you, distilled and pure, if you'll listen." And he stipulated how fond he was of those, especially those that would follow his word. And he blessed them because he loved them so much. But when they became Jeshurun, which is to say, it's kind of a pet name for fat and sassy and good time Charlie, for Israel. And he said, when you get to having your good times, you turn on me. And a lot of times that's the way it is today. If he blesses someone, then they begin to let the blessings go to their head, get on little ego trips or what have you, rather than realizing where it came from our Father. And they fall in trouble. And that's what he had worked up to this point. You want to talk about power? We talked about protection in the first part of the lecture as to how he was a great eagle, symbolically speaking, that would keep you under his wing, and if you were weak or handicapped, he would put you on the wing. He would take care of everyone. That's how much he loves us. So, with that having been said, he speaks of how they turned on him. We pick it up there in the 19th verse of Deuteronomy 32, which is the Song of Moses that the victors sing as they meet the Lord after the Antichrist has deceived most of the world. 19, Deuteronomy 32, and it reads, "And when the Lord saw it," these good-minded Charlies that turned on him, "he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters." The deceivers, the enemy, really, inasmuch as he scattered them, many of them lost their way, turned away from the Father, didn't even know who they were, quite frankly, as they migrated. And it's true to this day. It's very difficult for some to call their heritage back past three generations. The 10 tribes of Israel, as we just finished studying, the kings that went over the Caucasus Mountains that later settled Europe, later called Caucasians, Celts, and Europeans, so to speak, in large part, scattered people, they don't know who they are. God didn't lose anyone. They lost themselves. Good time, Charlies. Verse 20. "And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, perverse, children in whom is no faith." Faith is very important. If you have faith in someone, you love them. You can't help. In having faith, that means trust, the assurance that you're that you can count on the entity that you have this faith in. And it can't help but generate love and closeness. You see, there's just no faith there. Why? They would rather put their faith in some stick of wood that some heathen worshipped. Verse 21. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. That means emptiness, silly-headed, empty-headedness. And I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Now, if you're bubble-headed or vanity-headed, you wouldn't know what that meant. But if you've studied this letter that our Father has sent us, you know that he's talking about Amos chapter 6, verse 14, where he stipulated in the minor prophets that he would bring in Rechab, which is to say the father of the house of the Kenites, the Rechabites, Hamath, the Hebrew word, that he would bring this nation or peoples in on them, the Kenites, and it would be as in the wilderness, only the word wilderness here is Arabia, which is to say neither night or day, that they would be there until the dawn of the age. That's this generation. That's to say the generation of the fig tree. Now, if you're not bubble-headed or biblically illiterate, that would fall into your mind that quick. That's why it's important that you don't do as others and turn your back on our Father and turn your mind away from His Word. If you want His blessings, you're going to study His Word. That's what a church is for, is to teach God's Word. If it's a real church, otherwise it's a playhouse or a circus, one or the other. And I'm not mentioning names. It's simple. You either teach God's Word and have His blessings, or I don't know what you're doing. You would know. 22. For a fire is kindled in mine anger. Remember, God is a consuming fire. Hebrews chapter 12, the last verse. And shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume. You want to know what the fire is that burns hell? And shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. And mountains naturally translates nations. That's why Jesus in his teachings would say, if you have the faith, as God had mentioned back in verse 20, of a mustard seed, that you could move this nation off your back, which is to say the one mentioned in Amos 6:14, the Kenites. Just enough faith, you can move them totally out of your life, the entire nation, by having the blessings of God and walking in His light. His fire to you, that a fire that doesn't burn grass, but it burns rudiments or the elements of the world. That is to say, that is evil. Because those that walk with Him, He gives them the common sense whereby they are prepared that when evil comes along, they blow it away. It's gone. They protect themselves, and God takes care of the rest. It's not a bad world when you walk in God's blessings, for God's fire to you is the warming of the Holy Spirit that strengthens your heart, mind, body, soul, that gives you a purpose and a destiny in life. Whereas it burns those that go the way of the world and are biblically illiterate. They don't know what's going on. And if they were to read that verse about the fire, it would frighten them to death. Going to hell for sure, hell for brimstone, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the rudiments and those that would follow in the deceit of Satan through his little children, the Kenites, and the ways of this world. 23. Listen carefully. This is the victory song. Don't forget it. It pertains to this generation, and it's a part of the book of Revelation, which means the unveiling, something you're supposed to know, do you? Verse 23, I will heap mischiefs upon them. I, God speaking, will spin mine arrows upon them. Oh, my word, I didn't know that God carried a bow and arrow. Well, you must know that our Father uses symbolism. If you know what his arrows are, then perhaps you could recognize one of them, because they would fall in this generation, and you could recognize them for what they are. What are they? He told you above what they were going to burn: the ways of the world, the perversiveness that he had forementioned, and he said, I'll bring this mischief. We have certain things that pop up in generations, and you wonder, well, where was it all my life or all the years in history? Could it be one of the little arrows? Could some people call it mischief? Would they recognize one of God's arrows were they to see it? Well, let's check into it. This is the victory song. It educates you. 24. They shall be burnt with hunger. Now, surely you all know that in Amos 8, a couple of chapters past the 6th and 14th verse that I forementioned about the nation, in Amos 8 it lets you know that the hunger in this generation is not for food, but for hearing the Word of God. Read it for yourself, Amos chapter 8. And people are starving for truth, for knowledge, for understanding in the simplicity of which our Father teaches. And devoured with burning heat. You know what this word is in the Hebrew? A wasting fever when the immune system is gone. You can't recover from anything. You just waste away. I wonder what that would be called. What kind of virus would that be? Oh, well. Well, I just wonder if that's an accident. There are no accidents as far as our Father is concerned. And with bitter destruction, the wasting, burning fever that brings destruction of the flesh body, I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them with the poison of serpents of the dust. Who is the old... I mean, surely you can... I would think any child would know that what God said to the serpent, you're going to crawl on your belly in the dust all the days of your life. You know he's talking about Satan. He is that old serpent, the dragon, the devil. Revelation chapter 7, 12. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 will give you the names. Or Revelation 20, verses 1 and 2 will give you those names. The serpent, the snake, the old devil. You want to listen to him? He'll pull you down into the dust with him, and you will burn the wasting fever and disintegrate into dust. That's an arrow of God. Have you seen any of them fly by? They're certainly striking the earth in this generation, and it didn't happen until this generation. 25. The sword without and terror within, into the very chambers, no one will escape, shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, the suckling also with the man of gray hairs. That wasting fever has no favorites, and spread in order as listed, young men and the virgin. And suckling also, that is to say, a child that is born of that communation or exposure. And it will even get the man with gray hairs. It has no boundaries. If you get in the line of one of God's fires, the arrows, and I don't have to speak any plainer than that, and don't think that the burning fever is the only one. There are others. 26. I said I would scatter them into the corners, and he has. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. Where are they today? He promised Israel that they would become as numerous as the stars of heaven and the sands of the sea. Where are they? Well, I don't know. Well, yes, you do, if you're familiar with your Father's letter. This is the reason that we go into the byways and the farways to search out the ancient writings of those that migrated, that wrote in the old ancient alphabets, to document that God's word is true. When he said he would scatter them, he did. It's that simple. Does God still love them? Of course he does. But if you totally cut him off from your life, he will not stand by forever allowing you to be a good time Charlie without sending a little arrow your way. He at least allows it. Let's put it that way. Well, why would he do that to anyone? He doesn't do it to them. They do it to themselves and mock him. And then he's saying he doesn't even exist. 27. Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy. This is our Father speaking. You think he doesn't have emotions? Again, I want to remind you, this is the victory song. Are you listening? Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries, that means God's children's adversaries, the serpent, the Kenites, should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, our hand is high, and the Lord hath not done all this. We've done it. We control the world. And our father is God, meaning Satan. Satan has always wanted to take God's place. You will read of it in Isaiah 14. You will read of it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. A promise by God that he will return as God, that is to say, Satan, before the true Christ returns. It's going to happen. The arrow is already sent. Are you listening? Are you aware of it? Do you know the victory song? If you don't, it's no wonder that you won't be one that has the victory. But you don't understand, brother. I'm saved. Saved by who? By the true Messiah or the faith that comes first? Which one are you going to hop into bed with? That is to say, pretend, partake of the wedding. I speak in a symbolically. Verse 28. For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Where does all wisdom come from? From our Father through Yeshua. If you don't have the Father, and if you don't have Yeshua, and if you don't have the Holy Spirit, then where is the wisdom? Question. Well, I just can't believe that. Well, then burn with fever, friend, and many other things that are coming. Stick around. We're just getting started. Verse 29. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end, or that they would understand how it would be at the end. Let me tell you something. I want to show you, I want to pick up, if I can, on the love of our Father and his emotions. He said, I would let it go a lot further than what I dare, because the enemy is going to think that they have completely overcome, and in fact that there is no God. They're going to think that they have defeated the ignorance of people that are led into practices to wipe out, to destroy the good time Charlies that ignore God. He said, I'm afraid the enemy, you see, well, why would he say that? Because he wants them to believe too. There would be no hope for them if he allowed them to go too far in their so-called superiority. Their wisdom of the world, for they certainly are wise in the world, but they are ignorant concerning our Father, which is true wisdom. I don't know. What do you know about the latter end? You should know everything about it, because this is the victory song. This is the song with understanding that those will sing that have the truth of this word, that sidestep and defeat both the burning fever and the ways of the serpent. And certainly do not idolize his so-called first come, first taken out of the field by the Antichrist and think they're believers and saved and all this junk. because they're not taught God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. A man of God teaches God's Word, not his own. This is the victory song of the latter end. Verse 30. How shall one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock hath sold them, and the Lord hath shut them up? I'm going to tell you how that one puts 10,000 to flight in the name of the Lord. You teach the truth and you say, boom, and they'll run. They will not make a stand. They are cowards. They are weaklings. They are wimps that are biblically illiterate, but still wear the apparel of a man of God, or a person of God, a woman of God, a child of God, and yet are biblically illiterate. Am I talking down to someone? Am I making them uncomfortable? I would rather you were a little uncomfortable now than burn in hell, or suffer one of the arrows of God, and fall into line and stop the enemy that would deceive and bring deception upon God's own children. His emotions cry out, our own fathers, that you hurt me. When you don't read the letter I've sent to you with understanding, the very song of Moses that I have told you through Revelation 15 that the overcomers would sing. Well, are you reading a little bit into that? No. How would you know what the nation, the foolish nation, was? How could you identify it if you didn't understand what that nation was of the serpent, Amos 6:14? And yet it's very simple. Think about it. Do you sing the victory song with understanding? Verse 31. Remember, I stated that the word rock was used five times, and that's grace, true grace, not what some would call grace. Verse 31, for their rock is not as our rock. Notice the upper and lower case. Even our enemies themselves being judges, even they know this. And how many have not read from this letter that our Father has sent to us, Ezekiel chapter 28, where it speaks of the king of Tyrus, and have done their homework enough to know what Tyrus means? It means rock. And it's Satan on the very altar of God when he fell. And God makes it clear what he will accomplish and ultimately what his final gesture shall be when he is fini. In Ezekiel 28, verse 18 and 19. Do you know that? Have you read? Or are you vanity-headed? I don't know. It's time for you to face the fact of whether you can sing the victory song with knowledge or whether you can't. Because those that do not understand and have not been fed in this famine for hearing God's Word will suffer great embarrassment and a burning fever, far worse even than some kind of lack of a system that fights filth called the immune system. Verse 32. For their vine is of the vine of Sodom. Do you know what sodomy is? And of the fields of Gomorrah. You know what happened there? Their grapes are as grapes of gall. Not sweet. Bitter. Their clusters are bitter. I don't know. Which road do you travel? What a victory song. You don't want any part of that. You want freedom. And you want the love of our Father and His blessings. Sing the song with knowledge. And don't be starved and hungered for hearing God's Word. Because you certainly have a copy of it. I would think you would. And that you would have read it and become very familiar with it. 33. Their wine, Yayin, is the poison of dragons. Do you know who the old dragon is? Ancient manuscripts have it serpent, okay? And the cruel venom of asp, which is to say Satan. Do you not see? Do you not know their rock? Have you never read Ezekiel 28? The king of Tyrus, rock, small rock, little rock, trying to be the big rock. Our rock is the foundation on which we build. He is our Father, and our love for Him is non-ending. And when you are with Him, there is no end. But if you're not with Him, there is definitely an end. Sad but true. Leave the poison wine alone. That simply is figuratively saying, leave Satan's deception alone. How do you do that? By recognizing it when you see it. You recognize it by it having been identified through this letter that your Father lovingly has sent to you. Verse 34. Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures? I don't know. Do you want some of his treasures? It's sealed there waiting for you. If you qualify, if you sing the victory song. 35. To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. What does he mean? This was written 1,500 years before Christ walked the earth. What does he mean is at hand? No. He said at the latter end, earlier in the chapter, singing this song. Revelation 15 lets you know when this song will be sang. Why? For the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he seeth that their power is gone and there is none shut up or left. This is why that Christ, as it is written in Mark 13, for the elect's sake will shorten the days of the asp walking the earth. Do you recognize an asp when you see one? I don't know, maybe there are so many asps walking around today that it's hard to recognize the true asps when you see it. And I am saying ASP, asp, the snake, the serpent, the devil, the false Christ, though he is beautiful. Don't end up on the wrong end, my friend. Christ said, for the elect's sake I have shortened the time, else there would be no flesh saved. That's how strong the deception will be by the miraculous miracles and loving, cooing sounds from the spurious Messiah. And those that are not taught from our Father's Word that recognize this song will surely love Him, thinking He is Christ, come to rapture them away. Wake up! Listen to your Father and not man, not this man or any other man. For as it is written in Ezekiel chapter 13, our Father states, I dislike those that teach my children to fly to save their souls. And I will rip those children back out of their arms. And that's when they will begin to pray for the mountains to fall on them and to die, when they realize they worship the spurious Messiah rather than the true, in shame. Verse 37, and he shall say, where are their gods? Their rock, lowercase, in whom they trusted, in their deception. But he said he would come here to take us away. So we left the field. Others kept working, doing God's work, and some just flew away to Antichrist. 38. Which did eat the fat of their sacrifices, we tithe to him, or to the churches that taught this, and drank the wine of their drink offerings. Let them, God says, let them rise up and help you and be your protection. What a sad day that's going to be. In other words, he's telling you, those that are stubborn, stiff-necked, and refuse His Word, the loving Word of our Father, let them pray to the false Messiah and their fake religions, traditions of men, rather than teaching God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Let their philosophy save you. Let the Antichrist, even Michael's got him in the pit and he's bound there and he can't even say, let him help you. Oh, how powerful our Father is. And His word is true. And His arrows are swift. And they strike to the hilt. And anyone with any wisdom at all and is not vanity headed can recognize and hear the thud of their arrival all around us. Let them save you. That's what he's saying. Verse 39. See now that I, God speaking, even I am He. And there is no God with me. There's no other rock. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. When the deadly wound strikes the dragon, his one world political system, guess who's going to order it? Not Satan, Almighty God. And there are souls, this reminds me, and if you're not biblically illiterate, it should have popped into your mind, that God Himself would say in the book of Matthew through the mouth of Yeshua, Jesus saying, fear not those that can destroy your flesh body, but rather fear He that can kill your soul. That is to say, cause it to perish. Fini, turn to ashes, the consuming fire, the final arrow that strikes the body with a thud, the soul rather, with a thud, and fini, the burning furnace of fire. And God is that consuming fire. Spoken symbolically, my friend, but done in good taste, our Father having done it in good taste to rid this earth of the vermin and the filth that man through the dragon has brought onto the earth. Verse 40, for God continues, for I will lift up mine hand to heaven and say, I live forever. Well, do you want to live with Him? He's the only rock that is forever. Don't just go jumping on a bunch of loose shale over here thinking it's a rock when it's deception, lies, trickery, deceit, and take the long slippery slide right into the pit that the burning arrows strike with accuracy. Rather sing the victory song and get on the victory wagon. Get on the victory rock. 44:1. If I whet my glittering sword and my hand take hold on judgment, if I sharpen my sword, do you know what God's sword is and do you know who carries it? Christ carries it. Revelation 1:16. His tongue is a two-edged sword that cuts both ways. It's the Word of God. Does it cut you? Or does it feel good? Comforting. Do you have faith or do you not? I will render vengeance to mine enemies and will reward them that hate me. Reward them with what? What they've got coming to them. But what does He render you? Are you an enemy of God? I would hope not. If you claim to be a servant of the living God, surely you're not an enemy. What is judgment for His servants then? Reward, reward, reward. Riches, comfort, knowledge, wisdom. And most of all, the words to this song with understanding. The victory over the world and its angel leader, Satan. 42. I will make mine arrows drunk with blood. Can you hear them striking blood now? Listen around you, my friend. Listen to the news. And my sword shall devour flesh. God's word cuts. But it always heals back if it takes and gives you an inoculation that makes you immune to the ways of Satan. And that with the blood of the slaying of the captives, for from the beginning of revenges upon the enemy, they're just starting. The enemy is just now quivering in his fall, but the great fall has not happened yet. It shall, when he is cast from heaven and thuds upon this earth, as it is written in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, woe to you on earth that are ignorant. Woe to you on earth that are bubble-headed, empty vanity. Understand what I'm saying. It can be documented very carefully by understanding the Hebrew word utilized as vanity in the prior verse. 43, rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants. He loves you and will render vengeance to his adversaries and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. That's the song, my friend. And Moses spoke. Let's go ahead and take one more verse, if we may. And Moses came and spake all the words of this song in the ears of the people. He and Hoshea, this is the early spelling for Joshua, which is Jesus. Do you understand? The son of Nun, that type. Will you never forget that in Revelation chapter 15, verse 3, it said, and those that had received the victory over the beast, the dragon, his name and his number on their way to heaven, the true heaven, not some dreamed up fly away butterfly story that man's tradition has brought forward since the year 1830, but the real word of God, armed with it, the victory song. For it states very clearly, and they sing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. What Lamb? Jesus Christ and His Word, His teachings, in the simplicity in which He taught. Don't be deceived. You know, the scripture that comes to mind concerning the documentation that Christ's teachings are given forth in a simplistic way are recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul would say, I want you to hear the psalm and the truth, for I want to present you as a chaste virgin to Christ, for fear, I fear that you might be beguiled, seduced, expatio in the Greek, wholly seduced by Satan. Do you know how one loses their virginity? And can you understand why Christ would teach in Mark 13, woe to you that are with child when I return, meaning a spiritual child, impregnated by the number and in their mind of the spurious Messiah. When he comes to take a virgin, and giving suck means even helping his work along. Simplicity? Then continue reading in that 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians. I don't know. Do you know the song of Moses with understanding? I mean, anybody can read the words, but do you know what it's talking about? With understanding. We have the victory. God loves us. But he hates the deception that Satan has brought upon this world. And if you are not armed to the teeth with the Word of God, then there are cracks in your armor. And a crack in the armor is just wide enough to allow a speeding arrow to pierce to the very soul those that are biblically illiterate. To not be biblically illiterate is simply not to starve for truth, but to have been taught and from the Word of God. There are some that cannot read. That's why God sends teachers. It is not that you have to remember the God's Word, word for word, but that you know generally the novel that is of one man and his family as they travel through the pages and chapters of time, blessed by God and all people that come in contact, that would bring Yeshua Messiah Jesus, that would die for all peoples on that cross, that they might repent and be in good standing for an eternal life with Almighty God rather than being deceived. It's not complicated, but it is a little more complicated than to be some diapered baby Christian that can only say, I'm saved because I believe. Believe what? They're ignorant of God's Word. What do they believe? Anything that comes along, any new religion, being bubble-headed, not well-founded in God's Word, they don't know whether someone's lying to them or telling the truth, for there is only one truth, and that is the Word of God. Do you know the song that the victors in the end sing on their way to the true heaven? Think about it, my friend. I do not say this again, I repeat, to hurt, but it's because I love, and it's so important to have His Word, especially in this generation on which this latter end falls. Think about it. He loves you very much. He may not love what you're doing, but you can change that and fall rather than as an enemy that catches, you know what, the blessings. Even today, live it. He loves you. He wants to hear you say that you love Him. And He will take care of those then that would stand against you. Think about it. It makes His day. He's hurting. Our Father is very sad because of this latter end and what's happening in this world today. You can make a difference to Him simply by saying, Father, I love You. I want to be one of Your servants. Think about it. Study His Word. And be strong. No longer a weakling. Speak and 10,000 take flight, for truth makes its road and its way. For He is that Word, and He is strong. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please? The minor prophets, certainly nothing minor about them as far as their importance in the Word of our God. The minor prophets are like reading tomorrow's newspaper. That is to say, literally bringing the facts of those events that shall transpire in your lifetime to life on the living pages of Almighty God's Word. The minor prophets are so jam-packed with excitement as they tell you what tomorrow brings, as they instruct you into prophecies even concerning Antichrist. And these 12, could we say that one was from each of the tribes? Not really. But then it would not surprise me when we get there, we find out this is true. It tells us about Russia and the United States. It tells us of how things shall be in the final conflict. The minor prophets, hey, I know you're going to enjoy them. All right, bless your heart. There we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, if we may, 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, share it, won't you? We can no longer answer all questions. Who knows? Yours may be in that handful. You that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure to hear from you. Your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. You got a prayer request? He's your Father. He really is the closest relative you have, and He owns everything. If you've been getting your part, then let Him know you love Him and be on the receiving end by doing His work, by understanding His Word. Change your life. Make you somebody. Right? Father, around the globe we come, we ask that You lead, guide, direct, touch, Father, protect, and heal. Okay, let's see what's on the minds of people around the country. Angela from Texas. I used to be on drugs and everything. Alright, that covers a lot of ground here. Used to be unable to get a job because of uncleanliness. Now I have a good job and am not on drugs. My whole life has changed. Thank you for everything, Pastor Murray. Well, darling, I wish Pastor Murray could take credit for it, but it's the Word, darling. The Word of God. I don't care, and I'm so thankful that He has picked you up and has touched you and changed you. And I wonder how many more there are that want the same thing to happen to them. Take Angela's advice. Let the Word fill you, heal you, cleanse you, and put you on a productive path with a destiny and a purpose in the plan of Almighty God. James from Wisconsin. I don't think it was fair for Jesus to go to hell to preach to the captives. Please explain why it was, since they probably already knew after he arrived there. James, you missed the whole point, my boy. The people that lived before Christ paid the price on the cross, and it was called not hell, but the place of the captives, meaning they didn't make it. I wonder what kind of condition you would be in if Christ hadn't paid the price and you repent and you're forgiven. Well, you see, he was only being fair to give them the same opportunity that you have today. Your documentation, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. Frank from South Carolina. Are you going to do any more documentaries about the Hebrew writings in America? We do, Frank, one documentary every month. And which reminds me, next week is that documentary week, and we're going to be out chasing and recording other writings. Those of you that listen by satellite, you're live. You will have Thursday live with a Bible quiz with Dennis Murray. And those of you that listen by stations in the morning or early afternoon, it will be on Friday, your Bible quiz, teaching to and checking you out to see how well you're doing in God's Word, whether you're biblically illiterate or you're coming along real good. And you never have to feel bad. That just means work a little harder, okay? So don't miss it. You bet. We're always seeking. And I thank God for all of you that take pictures of certain writings on the back 40 or something that look strange and out of the way. That's how we find these things, is by you, the people of the world, calling them to our attention. We thank you for it. Gerardo from California. The Anti-Christian Research Institute out here is really starting to irritate me. They keep broadcasting over the airwaves that you made a prediction that the Antichrist was going to return in 1981. I knew you didn't say this, and I wish you would set them straight, because I'm tired of hearing their junk. Well, it seems there are a lot of people tired of hearing their junk. It would be real nice if they had a scholar on staff that could show a little wisdom rather than total ignorance. It's real strange. My teaching has always been, especially to young people, do I go to college or will the Lord come in this generation? I say, you plan your earthly life, you're like you're going to be here forever, but be ready for Christ to return tomorrow. I have never set dates. It was along about this time that the dates of Daniel, or the formula, came out, and in the way we figured it, that year was important. It wasn't 81, it was 82. But even at that time, teaching, plan to be here forever, because no man knows the day or the hour. There are this group, you know, this same anti-Christian operation states that I do not teach the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, you people that listen to me are bright. And how many times have you heard me teach about the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? Over and over and over. Why? I teach God's Word. They're liars. They're lying. But should I give them the time of day when they're in such a negative and misleading so many people? They really are. Into trying to believe lies. But you see, what that does, if it were possible, it would hurt God's work. We're growing every day, and God will punish them, don't worry. I'll never forget, their main, I shouldn't say it, I'm not going to. Lord called home people that offend his elect, okay? There's one more thing they say. They claim that I claim I'm the prophet and the one and only prophet. Have any of you ever heard me say I'm a prophet? I think not. I think you're a little more intelligent than listen to made-up lies by hear-tex, all right? Or maybe they're just ticks. I don't know. They just kind of bite in and suck blood out of certain people. But it doesn't bother me. They're a bunch of yahoos trying to sound important when they are. They have not one scholar on staff, and their ignorance appears on the very surface of their work. Be that as it may. So, Gerardo, don't worry about them. God is taking care of them, all right, in a real nice way. He has a nice warm place already for them. H from Virginia, I heard a doctor preacher preach that if the evil spirit goes out of a person, it can return. But if it's cast out by God, it won't return. Is this biblical, and where is it found? Matthew chapter 12, verse 43, hon, but not the way your doctor preacher has told you. It states there in Matthew chapter 12, verse 43, that if the demon or evil spirit, better said, is cast out and the house is swept clean, meaning the body, the person, that they will come back and bring a lot more with them. But the point is, always fill that body with the Holy Spirit. Always fill that body with Jesus Christ. Don't leave the house empty. If you cast something evil out of somebody, make sure Christ is placed in. And then the evil spirit in no way can reattack that person. Okay? Got it? Helen from California. My daughter passed away. My mother puts flowers on her grave, but I do not. She isn't in that grave, right? She is with God. Yes, dear, that is right. But appreciate your mother for wanting to place them there. There's nothing wrong with it, okay? It's a thing of, it's a memorial. And it's there's no sin in it. That's what I'm saying. And love her for caring. And let her understand your feelings, but say it in love, all right? Because that's the love is what places the flowers there. Brunel from Georgia, is chicken and turkey okay to eat, or are they clean? You talked about all kinds of food, but you said nothing about chicken. Well, as I stated, the line is not absolutely drawn in the sand, but your rule of the thumb is scavenger versus a grain eater or a live creature, insect eater, or so and so. A chicken is not, in my estimation, a scavenger. Now, a chicken, if they're pinned up and something dead is around, yes, they'll pick at it. But they are not scavengers. They'll even pick each other to death. That's a chicken for you. But usually they're grain-fed, or they're hunting grain or seed or live locusts, grasshoppers. They love them, all right? And nothing makes good old-fashioned farm eggs taste better than I shouldn't say that, than during grasshoppers, locust season, all right? Be that as it may. I find, and a turkey is certainly not a vulture, nor is a turkey a scavenger, all right? And yes, under certain conditions, they would pick at a carcass, but that's not their main food, and I feel that domestic-fed chickens and turkeys and so forth are clean. Laura from California, I saw your program today for the first time, and I really enjoyed it. I'd like you to explain to me what Pentecost is. I've never heard of it before. Well, Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, it's simply a Greek word that means 50 or 50th, and it's the 50th day after Passover. Those events, it's a special day because it was on that day that the people began to speak with the Holy Spirit causing the speech, and it was in every language of the world, as you'll, not unknown, but everyone understood it in their own tongue, all right? Acts chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 will tell you that. Dana from Mississippi. Do you baptize in the name of Jesus or the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? I baptize in the name of Yahweh, the Heavenly Father, Yeshua, the Son, our Savior, Jesus, and the Holy Ruach, that Holy Spirit. But if I were to baptize in the name of Yeshua, Jesus, I'm still doing the same thing, for Jesus means Yahweh, Savior, and where those two are, the presence of the Holy Spirit is always there. So there's no difference. Don't make split religions over it. Barbara from Minnesota. Does God ever turn his back on us? Well, you read it in the Psalm of Moses today. He will if you're his enemy. Mark from Michigan. Otherwise, he will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Mark from Minnesota, rather. If God's elect do not have free will, then how would God's elect blaspheme the Holy Spirit when they're... God's elect have free will. God is going to make certain that you are delivered to places where you hear the truth and you know what to do. But whether you do it or not is totally up to you, but one of God's elect always will. But they do have free will. Look how they mess up all the time. Deanna from West Virginia. Is venison good to eat? Yes, they chew the cud and they have the cleft foot. They're excellent. Really, it's according to how you fix it, but mm-mm. David from Texas, is it against God's law to receive a blood transfusion? My grandmother is of, I don't answer questions concerning religion, but this, people confuse the fact that God's word says, do not eat meat killed in the blood, which means it wasn't bled when it was killed, as God instructs us to kill our animals. It has nothing to do with a blood transfusion. A blood transfusion has saved many a life. We combat veterans know that. And then, of course, that religion probably wouldn't fight for the country either, so who knows? Or love our flag or the country. But who knows? I won't talk against a religion. They're good people. Just a little bit, that old vanity emptiness can sure take over when one doesn't have scholars on staff. It hurts. I'm out of time. I thank God that he has patience with all of us, and may we all have patience with each other. But when it comes to teaching God's word, let us do it boldly. For our Father is the only salvation that we have, his way through the Son. All right? We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, then help us keep coming your way. I love you all a lot because you enjoy studying that word rather than tradition. Stay in it every day, and it's a good day. You know why? Jesus, Yeshua, is the living word.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. You have been viewing the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you are interested in obtaining more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer includes the Mark of the Beast audio tape, a newsletter with a written Bible study, a complete audio tape catalog, and a list of reference materials available through Shepherd's Chapel. You may request our free introductory offer by telephone. Call 1-800-643-4645. 24 hours a day to request the offer. You may also request by writing Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. That's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. We invite you to join us and serious Bible students around the world for our next in-depth Bible study, Monday through Friday at the same time. Thank you for watching, and God bless you. The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a